Thank you, Father God, for your love for us and that you sent our Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you loved us enough to come. Thank you for all that you've done in our lives. Thank you for every facet of our life that you've blessed us in. Pray the Holy Spirit that you just move through the house today. That if any of us aren't there where that song was, completely surrendered unto you, Lord, that today that would happen. Lord, I pray that each of us would present our lives to you. And just say we're a blank check. You fill in the blank. Lord, we're surrendered unto you. We're submitted to you. God, we're yours. Use us as you will. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Well, it is so good to be back home. I was out last Sunday on a little vacation, and then the previous Sunday I was preaching at Gates Church. And we have such an amazing church community here in Athens that so many cities don't have. And so to be able to, in our own town, just preach in each other's pulpits, that just don't happen. Why? Because there's so much, and oftentimes in the church world and amongst pastors, there's so much fear that you're going to come get my sheep and all that kind of stuff, whatever. But what I was so proud of, in a good way, and pleased with, that I was gone two Sundays in a row, and then last month I was gone one Sunday, and we had 9 different preachers, and they all came from in-house and did phenomenal jobs. And so thankful. So thankful. I was considering taking another week just because I knew we had 3 more. And I mean, it's just amazing. The strength that the Lord has blessed us with here at Sand Springs is just such an awesome thing. And then today, our worship team, our worship leader, Ingrid, was planning on being here today, but she went on a mission trip to El Salvador, came back with Montezuma's Revenge, and she's at the ER today, and yet the praise team just picked up and just ran with it. Amen. And there's so many on this team, the strength there. They come at 7 a.m. on a Sunday morning, and then they won't leave until after 1, and they're just such a blessing. So thankful for how Lord has blessed with the strength in this church, and that there's more ministry that goes on between Monday and Saturday in your homes and in this community than actually happens here on a Sunday. And it's such a blessing, such a blessing. Well, there are moments that we have in history that we have some recorded in the scriptures in which the earth shakes because God has stepped forward. When the kingdom of heaven is on the advance, that the earth trembles because of it. We're just going to kind of glance at a few of them on the way. We're not going to pull them up on the scriptures, but in the book of Exodus, as God has rescued the nation of Israel and Moses is leading them out of Egypt, they come to Mount Sinai, and God says, Moses, I want you to come up here on the mountain with me. I'm going to speak to you. I want you to go back down the mountain and fence it off. Don't let animal or person get on this mountain because I'm going to visit you today. And so Moses goes down there and tells him, yeah, don't touch the mountain. And don't even touch it. And Moses goes back up. God speaks to it, and the mountain starts shaking. There's fire. And then God tells Moses, tell him don't touch the mountain. Moses, God, they're scared of you. They ain't touching the mountain. Moses, get down there and tell them people don't come near the mountain. He goes down there and the people are scared and we ain't touching the mountain. And they're so scared that they tell Moses, don't let God speak anymore. Don't let God speak anymore. Moses goes up and they're so afraid of God, they were afraid to even hear from him. But he, in the midst of all of that, they're down there with a golden calf while Moses is up on the mountain for 40 days and they're down there and all of their partying. We can quickly forget the fear of the Lord, can't we? And so Moses comes down, and sure, you know the whole story, but what God was doing was forming the first covenant, the old covenant. Your Bible is split into 2 testaments. A testament means a covenant. There's old covenant and the new covenant. And the old testament was formed that day on Mount Sinai, and heaven shook earth, amen? Heaven shook earth. Later on, we have a prophet named Elijah. Elijah's going through his toughest day in ministry. In the ministry, we call this Elijah syndrome. The day after a great victory, sometimes you feel just, it won't even take the next day. There are Sundays I go home after preaching 3 services, I can barely hold my head up. And that Sunday night, I have what we would call a holy hangover. The blahs just set in. And then that Monday is just like, I don't even want to go. This is Elijah syndrome. It happens oftentimes after a great victory. Elijah, and I believe I know why Elijah was so discouraged and depressed the day after the great victory at Mount Carmel. He defeated Ahab and Jezebel's prophets. God brought down fire from heaven, consumed the whole thing. Amazing victory. And then the next day, Jezebel says, Elijah, I'm coming to kill you. And I'm sure that what he felt was, after all of this and nothing has changed, and there's nothing that can bring discouragement than the feeling of God's done his greatest and the people haven't changed a bit. And so that led Elijah to go to that very same mountain, Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb, is also called in the scriptures. And Moses was there on that mountain. So Elijah, he wanted to go get a word just like Moses did. And so he goes down to that mountain. And in that process, I'm kind of shortening the whole story. He gets down to that mountain and the mountain's shaking again. We have a whirlwind. We have fire. We have all of these things. And yet it says, but God wasn't in those things. And God quieted Elijah's soul and spoke to him in a still small voice. Sometimes heaven shakes earth. Elijah was ready to quit. Elijah wanted to die. He literally said, take me now. I'm no better than my fathers. Go ahead and kill me now, God. Now, he didn't really want to die, but he really wanted to hear from God. And God spoke to him in a still small voice. And what are you doing down here, Elijah? He said, well, I've done this, I've done that and all this, but I'm all alone. You ain't all alone, Elijah. There's 7,000 knees that hadn't bowed to Baal. And I'm still not through with you. And he gives him 3 things that he was going to go do. And Elijah was part of touching the next generation. Amen. You better be a part of touching the next generation. And so he was a part of that. And there again, there was the shaking of the mountain. But sometimes the shaking that happens is not the loving hand of God. Sometimes it's the hateful hand of the devil. I want to look in the book of Luke chapter 22. In Luke chapter 22, we're following the giving of the Lord's Supper, the giving of communion. The Lord Jesus has set his disciples down, preparing them for his death. He has instituted the new meaning of the old Passover. The old covenant, if you remember, the nation of Israel come out of Egypt. God then met them on Mount Sinai, established the old covenant. Jesus is now saying this is the new covenant. But then he tells his disciples, and specifically to Peter, but there's a shaking coming. I want to look in verse 29, chapter 22. We're going to start in verse 29. And I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, in the minds of the disciples, they're thinking that's exactly what we've been waiting on, for you to establish an earthly kingdom, and we're going to be in your king's court. And he keeps, you know, Jesus, I just imagine him shaking his head and saying, y'all don't get it. It's not an earthly kingdom. It's a heavenly kingdom. And he's trying to give them this understanding. And then he says in verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. This verse of scripture has tracked me down for several years. I've come back to this so many times. It's a troubling verse of scripture. It's troubling. Why? Because apparently it is very clear in this verse of scripture that Satan asked Jesus if he could sift Simon. And apparently Jesus said, yep. Yeah, you can do that. And I don't like that. I don't like it. When you have this, we have this situation where Jesus is telling Peter, Satan asked for you. But I want you to understand this too. When you look at this, with English language is limited in that there's just, you can be singular or plural. And in this passage of scripture, I want you to read it with me. In verse 31, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for, and this you is plural. So it'd be better, y'all. All right, let's just call it y'all. For y'all, he has asked for y'all that he might sift y'all as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. When you read that passage of scripture, I don't know if it bothers you, but every time I read that, I'm also going back to the book of Job, where Satan comes into the presence of God. And God says, Job, what you doing? Well, just roaming around the earth. And then who brings up Job's name? If you read that passage of scripture, it's God that brings up Job's name. What are you doing, Satan? Roaming around the earth. What do you? God says, have you considered my servant Job? And I want to tell the Lord, if you have a conversation with Satan, leave my name out of it. Just leave me out of it. And if he asks you for me, tell him no. No. He's mine. I always want to say, no, Lord, you ain't going to let him have me. And here's what Satan comes to Jesus and said, I want that boy. And Jesus said, he could use a good sifting. Now, I want to describe the sifting process, and that it's actually one of a three parts of a process, and that the sifting process starts with, number one, threshing. I've been to Israel, worked in the first century village, reenactment village of first century Israel, and a threshing floor might be about the size of this room, maybe a little smaller even, and if you could get solid rock, it'd be great, but it's usually packed dirt. And as they would go out and they would harvest the wheat, they would go in the field with a sickle and they would cut the stalks of wheat and they would pile them up into sheaves. And maybe you're familiar with sheaves, the little bundles of wheat, and they're tied at the top. And so all through the field would be these sheaves. And then they would come oftentimes with a wagon and they would take the sheaves and load them onto the wagon. And then they would take the sheaves that are on the wagon to the threshing floor. At the threshing floor, they would throw it all out there on the ground and they would take a little donkey oftentimes. Sometimes you'd use human feet. But you would take a donkey and you'd have a threshing sled. On that sled, the bottom of it had holes drilled in it and rocks shoved in those holes so that it would crush and separate the grain on the stalks of wheat. And so you got a donkey pulling a board, a sled, and a guy driving the donkey putting weight on the sled, and they're just going around and it's grinding, it's separating, it's crushing. And that's called threshing. Then, that's step number one. Then you have step number two, and that's called the sifting. And they would have these sieves. This would be like a basket with some holes in it. And it would filter out all of the garbage that got picked up on the threshing floor. All of the dirt, all the little rocks, all the particles, all that stuff that got, the stuff that you don't want in your bread, that is sifted out in the sifting process. And the definition for sifting is a violent shaking in a sieve. A violent shaking. And so we have passages in the scripture where God has shaken the world. But in this passage, Jesus says, Satan has asked to shake you, to sift you. Because there's some stuff that needs to come out of your life. And it's going to require a little violence. I don't like it. It's going to require, there's been a trampling. There's stuff attached to you that's got to come clean. Because then the final process of the three-step process is a winnowing. And usually you try and have your threshing floor where there's a good breeze, maybe on the hillside. But if you didn't, you even had a winnowing fan. And its goal is to take the chaff, that outer husk that's on the grain of wheat, it's got to be knocked loose. And then you blow it away so that you don't have that garbage in your bread. So that's the three-step process. And Jesus says to Peter, Satan's asked that he may sift y'all like wheat. But I've prayed for you, Peter, that your faith should not fail. What's it wouldn't have to, you wouldn't have to pray for me, Jesus, if you just tell him no. But you've given him permission. Number one, P is permission. Satan has to have permission to sift you. Why? If you are God's possession, Satan has to have permission. I need you to catch that. If you are a child of God, if you have come to faith in Jesus Christ, and you have trusted in him and put your life in his hands, that's salvation. And because you're his possession, now Satan has to have permission. Unfortunately, like in this situation, Jesus gives it. But there's a reason that he gives permission for the sifting, and that is he's got a purpose. He's got a purpose. And so that's the only thing that will actually give you some encouragement while you're going through the sifting. Because I'm going to tell you something. I've been going through the sifting. And it's been hell. And since last January, I experienced a spiritual attack like nothing I've ever experienced in my life. And I thought I was going to die, and then I was afraid I wasn't. And then since then, there have been more of those attacks. And I can't go through all the details of the spiritual and psychological hell that that has been. And yet last Sunday, while we're down in the hill country, Sam Garza is preaching this service. And he read this scripture. And it struck me. God has allowed him to sift me. Why? Because there's junk in there that's got to come out. Maybe you've gone through a sifting. Maybe you are going through a sifting. Maybe you will go through a sifting. But if you are Christ, then he had to give Satan permission to do it. Now, he's a loving God. Maybe he didn't want to do it himself, but he don't mind letting Satan be his errand boy to sort things out of our lives. See, things happen when there's a sifting. There's a shaking away of things that should not remain. So maybe there's some things in your life that it may or may not be sin. There may be some character things in you that need to be dealt with, because that's exactly what's going on with Peter. You see, what's happening with Peter is he was self-confident. And Peter, we didn't go through the previous scriptures, but if you start all the way back to verse 24, 25, 26, what's going down is an argument amongst Jesus' disciples of who's going to be greatest in the kingdom. Who's going to run this operation? And so that's a problem. Jesus is like, this kingdom don't work that way. And he explains to them that's only what lost people do. Try and outmaneuver one another and who's going to be the boss in this situation. That's what lost people do. And he's trying to explain to them, no, in this kingdom, you serve to elevate. And so, and then he's got a purpose for this sifting, and I'm going to tell you what it is. It's his preparation. Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. Permission. Well, why would you say yes? Because I have a purpose. Well, what is your purpose? It's for your preparation. It's for your preparation, Peter. And it's because I have a great thing ahead of you that you've got to be prepared for. Peter would be the leader of the first century church. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down and it jacked up the world, and they're thinking, oh, these guys are drunk. Look at them all talking in tongues. I've never been drunk and heard another person's language and understood it. Some of you are like, you've been drunk? That's not the question you should be asking. But Peter steps forward. Peter then steps forward and preaches a sermon where 3,000 people get saved in one sermon. 3,000 in one sermon. By the way, if we went all the way back to the previous shaking on Mount Sinai, 3,000 people died that day. And the establishment of the first covenant, it brought death. And the establishment of the second covenant, the new covenant, it brought life. But it was Peter who brought the message. It was Peter who brought the sermon to the Samaritans. It is Peter who brought the sermon to the Gentiles. Salvation was brought through Peter. He was the doorway to salvation through his preaching of Jesus Christ to so many people groups. And he had to be prepared. How you prepare for something like that? Get the flesh out of them. Get the flesh out of them. Peter was so self-confident. Look what he says in verse 33. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster should not crow this day before you'll deny me three times. What is he saying? Peter said, I'll fight. I'm ready to fight anybody. In another passage of scripture, Jesus says, you're going to deny me. Peter says, they all might deny you. They're a bunch of suckers, but I won't deny you. I'll fight to the death. And he does. When Jesus is arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter pulls a sword and cuts off an ear of a temple guard. Jesus says, not the kind of fighting we're talking about, Peter. And that self-confidence is going to have to be sifted away to where you do what we just sang about, completely surrender. Completely surrender. Maybe you've been going through some things that's left you shaken. Maybe it's shaken away some of the things that didn't need to be there to start with. There are things that can be shaken. There are things that can't be shaken. Chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, we see in verse 25, the illustration that the writer of Hebrews is using is that original mountain shaking experience on Mount Sinai. And he's using that as a reference point to say they were afraid to hear from God. And many of them said, we can't stand it. We can't be in the presence. It's too violent. It's too severe. And so the writer of Hebrews tells us in verse 25, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. He is talking to New Testament Christians. He's talking to you and me. That God is speaking to you. Make sure you don't plug your ears. Make sure you don't rationalize. Make sure you don't pass it off. And we're so generous oftentimes in a preaching sermon. In a sermon, you'll be sitting there listening to a sermon like, oh, they need to hear that. Just pass it on back. Ooh, I know who needs to hear that. Pass that on back. Ooh, that ain't for me. That's for them. And you duck and you dodge and you let that just fly right over you. And here's what the writer of Hebrews says. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape him who refused him who spoke on earth. Remember that 3,000 that died? Much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken. As of things that are made, flesh, earthly stuff, things that need to be knocked loose from our life. Therefore, let me go back to that again. Verse 27. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of the things that can be shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Everybody catch that? We are receiving a kingdom. We have received a kingdom. Goes all the way back to what Jesus told his disciples, I give you the kingdom. He also tells them, it is my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of heaven. As a child of God, I'm a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, but I'm also supposed to be a catalyst for the kingdom of heaven. You know what a catalyst is? A catalyst is the vehicle by which the kingdom comes in. And so into this community, child of God, you are meant to be a catalyst for the kingdom of heaven to come into your household, into your job, into your school, into this community. Amen? Maybe a conduit might be a better way to think of this. That your life is meant to usher in the kingdom of God. And so it says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. He said there on Mount Sinai, they were shaken and they were shaking with fear because God was so severe in that holy moment. But they didn't want him. He said, but now God is ushering in his kingdom and this is a holy moment and I want you to want him. And I want you to be a catalyst or a conduit for him to come through and use you. But in order to do so, there may need to be some cleansing. There may need to be some cleansing. In this three-step process of preparing grain, you have the threshing, you have the sifting, you have the winnowing. And you know what they do with all that's left over after all that? You burn it. It's not good for anything. So that chaff, it's not even good for feeding the animals. It's just nothingness. And so you burn it. And so God is a consuming fire. Guess what? You didn't want it anyway. Maybe he's shaking some things out of your life and you just want the shaking to stop. And it will as soon as it's shaken free. As soon as he's accomplished its purpose, he'll say, that's enough. It's enough. So here's the truth. You cannot stay where you are and go forward with God. Amen. And I know I say some things that sometimes the younger generation don't catch. That'll be the next service. But y'all know what it means to be stuck high center. I mean, if you get a vehicle and that thing is teetering and the tires just barely catch the ground and you're stuck high center, you know what I'm talking about? And you can't get any progress, you can't get moved out of it, sometimes it's going to take some shaking. Maybe you're here and you're stuck high center and you need some people to jump on the bumper and just shake your vessel a little bit. Sometimes God has to use events, he uses people, he uses messages to bump you off a high center because you can't stay where you are and go forward with God. Maybe you're here today and this is a good explanation for what you've been going through. Maybe you're not. Maybe everything's hunky-dory with you. But maybe one day there will be a sifting. I will tell you that there is going to be a sifting one day. There's a future sifting. I mentioned several past siftings. There was even a shaking where God stepped forward in Acts chapter 4. The kingdom has come and the children of God were being persecuted and they have a prayer meeting in an upper room and here's what they prayed for. They prayed for boldness that they go out and preach the gospel. And in their prayer meeting, God shook the house. And you know what they got? What they prayed for. And they went out and preached with boldness. There was a shaking because God stepped forward. Maybe God's stepping forward in your life. Look at the shaking with hope and encouragement that it's preparation for his greater kingdom work. But there's coming another shaking. It's found in the book of Haggai. I'll wait till you find it. Just kidding. It's going to be on the screen. Haggai chapter 2, verse 6. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land. I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. You'll notice those capitals, desire of all nations. What is he talking about? He's talking about the third temple there in the city of Jerusalem on Temple Mount. There will be a day when Jesus is sitting on the throne in that third temple, and the world is going to be shaken, and the world is going to recognize the creator of heaven and earth is sitting on the throne in the city of Jerusalem. And the world's going to go to our Savior. The world, everything is going to be shaken. And I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. Do you know, the Bible tells us in Ephesians and Philippians chapter 2, it speaks of Jesus' humility, and it speaks of how he came as a servant. It says, in coming as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow on heaven and earth and under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. I don't want to wait until that violent shaking day to finally confess him as Lord, because that's going to be a severe day for you if you're waiting. It'll be a hopeless day for you if you're waiting. It'll be too late. But I choose today to make Jesus my Lord. And I pray that you do as well, that you're here today. If you say, you know, I've never been saved, man, don't leave here in that condition. You don't know when this next shaking's going to happen. You don't know. So why not today say, Lord Jesus, I want to make you first of all my Savior, calling upon you to save me of my past and prepare me for my future. Lord, forgive me of my sins. I want you to take away my, I recognize that you, the sinless one, died on a sinner's cross for my sake. Make him your Savior. And then there are people who make him their Savior and fail to make him their Lord. And I cannot give you a good, solid, theological, honest answer to say if they are even saved, because you're supposed to make him your Lord. But maybe you're here today and you've got some question marks over your salvation and you say, I want to make him my Lord. This would be a great day to do that. I want you to stand with me as we pray. Father God, I pray that you would help each of us to examine our hearts, to ask ourselves, if I've made you my Savior, have I made you my Lord? Maybe there's some who are going through sifting. And it seemed like it's never going to stop. I just remember one of my experiences, one of my severe moments, asking Christy, am I ever going to be normal again? Am I ever going to be right? The one who used to be fearless, just like Peter, now wrecked with fear. Can't get control of my own thoughts and mind. But then through the preaching of your word, that promise of when you return, thank you, Lord. It has a purpose, but it's only, sifting is only limited time. Thank you, Lord. Maybe there are those who are asking, will this end? I believe it will, once it's fulfilled its purpose. Thank you, God, for your love towards us, that you will allow us to go through the severe times because there's something greater ahead. Thank you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.